You're listening to What She Said, a podcast for bloggers and creatives hosted by me, Lucy Sharif, a freelance journalist living in London. Each week, I interview different women in blogging and the online world, getting their best blogging tips and advice, and a little bit of gossip too. Thanks for listening. In this episode, I chat to my lovely friend Fifi, who runs the blog Whimsy and Grey. She's a complete storyteller at heart on both her blog and through her super popular Instagram. She is the absolute epitome of a picture paints a thousand words. She's also got a few awesome hashtag projects, which she talks to me about, how they started and why she loves getting gritty with her dirty sink. All in all, it was just a really fun chat. And I really hope you love it as much as I loved recording it, which I realised that I say, I think, in every single guest intro, so I've kind of got to stop doing that.
Hello. Hello.
How are you? How was your day?
Good, thanks. It's raining and I have socks and a jumper on, which is pretty much the dream after a heat wave.
I know. I'm so happy it's over. So for anyone that doesn't know who you are, do you want to jump in and just tell us about who you are, your blogging journey, and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm Fifi of Whimsy and Grey. I started kind of Instagramming and kind of blogging when I was on maternity leave. So I have a 2.5-year-old called Florrie. And when I was on maternity leave with her, I kind of, that sort of fairly standard thing of, oh, I have nothing creative or interesting to do. And I was kind of, you know, feeding her constantly. And so scrolling through Instagram and you know, we started reading kind of some parenting blogs and that kind of thing. And I basically, before having a baby, I was a youth worker at a church where I would like preach every week. So I'd do like a sermon, but for teenagers. So it kind of had to be pretty interesting and kind of a lot. I did a lot of storytelling to kind of just the best way to communicate with people and teenagers. And kind of, I did a lot of kind of practice and research into that. And I just love storytelling. And so when I came across blogging, that I really felt like it was something that was missing in my life since leaving my job. I was like, oh, I don't storytell anymore. I don't kind of practice like how I communicate with people and writing and that sort of thing. And so I had all these funny little things going on in life, having, you know, a baby, and life was a bit chaotic. And so I just started simply by a bit of a mummy blog and just telling stories of what was going on with us. And it was kind of started filling that bit of a creative void that I had going on post baby.
when you started out, sorry to jump in, but because it's not a mummy blog anymore.
No.
We'll talk about that. But did you find, because I wrote a post about my kind of reticence of being described as a mummy blogger?
Yeah. I think not really, to be honest, because that was my first kind of place I put my toe in the water. Like that was, I hadn't even really read any blogs before or knew anything about it. So I was just on Instagram, found a few mummy bloggers on Instagram. So really that was the first world of blogging that I knew and kind of got into. But I think it was more, and also I was just so, that was my life at the time, like totally, I decided to be a stay at home mum. And so, and it was first baby and it was just all consuming. And then it wasn't until kind of a few months in, I was like, oh, actually I do have more to say now.
Yeah.
And I started following kind of other people who were casting the net a bit wider, and that was really inspiring.
So when did you change from, it was, what was it called?
It was Fifi and Florence to begin with, and it was just about yeah, being a mum, just about us, kind of mostly for, you know, just friends who were nosy on Facebook, because that's what I love to read.
Yeah,
I love to be nosy around into people's lives.
Yeah.
So I changed over to Whimsy and Grey October last year, I think. But I think already I had started to kind of weave in other areas of life, kind of just whatever I was feeling passionate about, or, you know, a lot of kind of, I suppose, just mindfulness, like mindful living, and anything really that I got an idea in my head about, I would tend to just write, just go with, because usually I know when I have a idea for a blog post is because I'm in my head, I'll start telling a story to somebody, like, how would I tell this if I was speaking to someone? And I'll usually just get a couple of lines of sort of storytelling, and then I'm like, right, that's a blog, and I'll just go and expand on it.
And that's definitely your thing, storytelling.
Yeah, that's what I love. That's what I really love.
What came first, Instagram or the, like, in terms of what you love doing, what came first, Instagram or the blog?
I think, well, I was on Instagram first, just as a private account. And so I did start, I suppose initially I started just kind of taking more photos when Florrie was born. But probably in terms of like quality content, the blog probably came first.
I think most people probably have that.
Yeah, because then it was kind of, I guess that for me, that side of things came easier. I had more of an experience of not even writing, but again, just kind of communicating.
Yeah.
And so that was what came naturally. And then it was like, right, I can learn to take better photographs, and I can kind of grow a bit creatively and get some inspiration. But yeah, I definitely found it's easier to start with what feels more natural to you.
Well, that's a really good tip, actually, because I think when any new blogger starts out from scratch, they think probably they have to have the whole lot.
Yeah.
Like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything.
They really do, because I've had a few people like message me for advice and stuff, unbelievably for me. And it is like, I always just say, just start, just go for it. And I suppose it's easy, I guess, because that's what I did, easy for me to say because that's what I did. But I'm so surprised when I meet people or speak to people who they're trying to have it totally polished.
Yeah.
And kind of have like, also have like multiple blog posts ready to go live, like on the first day of launching it. And
I find that bonkers.
Yeah, because actually people tend to only can only be bothered to read like one thing.
Yeah.
I'd say when they land on it. So if they see like tons, they're for the most part not going to scroll all the way through. So actually to kind of drip feed them in one at a time and get people kind of wanting more. But yeah, I was like, honestly, when people ask me for advice, I was like, oh, just begin. Like, otherwise you may never feel ready. I don't feel ready still, and I'm just doing it. And I changed over all the formats and where I was hosting, which is everything your lovely self helped me with.
Yeah, actually, do you want to talk a bit about that? Because in the past, 6 months, you've been going through a massive rebrand, and your Instagram is growing hugely. And I'll link to your website and all of your social at the end. But yeah, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I just started out kind of just with a WordPress.com blog. Because that was just what I, when I Googled it, that was what came up.
On a WordPress.com.
Because it was just really simple. It was almost like setting up a Facebook page or something.
And it's free as well.
And yeah, it's free. So you don't want to invest a load of money if you're not quite sure what you're doing. And so I started off with that. And when I got a bit more of a kind of readership and a following, I kind of felt like, oh, I should probably try and make this look a bit more professional. And I'd really been working on my Instagram, because I've been taking that's where we met, really, with Sarah Tasker from Me and Orla. I started doing one of her Instagram photography courses, and so I was really kind of upping my game in terms of photographs and kind of visual style, and my blog just wasn't matching up to that, because it was kind of just a bit of a bog standard freebie. template. And so that was when we started chatting, and you helped me kind of move it over to WordPress.org. So I was self-hosted and just lots more kind of freedom with being, you know, customizable and, you know, looking a bit more legit.
Yeah. Because you were already working with brands at that point, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, just on a kind of gifting basis. I haven't done any work, but yeah, I think there's the most thing they're interested in is whether you have an engaged following, engaged audience. And so whatever platform you're on, you know, if people are really invested in you, they'll just follow you wherever, really. But it was nice to kind of get things, you know, moved over and kind of just looking a bit more. So actually, if you click over from my Instagram to the blog, it's like, it's nice and continuous.
Yeah.
You kind of, I've got some, you know, overlapping images and that sort of thing, that it really, kind of, it's cohesive. So if people land on that, or if people land on my Twitter, they think, oh yeah, you know, this is Fifi. This is what, you know, who I know from Instagram or whatever.
That's probably another really good tip as well, is having the cohesiveness and thinking about yourself as a brand, which sometimes feels a bit, I don't know, a bit cringe, but actually you're right, and you can do it in a really natural way. If anybody looks at your Instagram, it's so personal, and you're connecting with a person immediately. It doesn't feel like that you're a big, you know, faceless brand. But also, if you go across to every single part of your social and your website, yeah, you're immediately recognisable.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be a real kind of, one of my tips would be to be really cohesive, but in a way that comes naturally to you. So, but yeah, definitely thinking of yourself as a brand, you have to sort of get over that awkwardness, because actually, especially if you're not making money to begin with, it can be, you're having to put a lot of effort into it without any kind of monetary reward, which is not necessarily why you're doing it anyway. But actually, you need to give yourself permission to take yourself seriously. And and I kind of have a bit of a fake it till I make it motto in life, where I'll just pretend. I'll just wing it and pretend, because I can do that. I can kind of, I know how to, you know, the phrases to use. And it's not that I'm not being authentic. It's just actually I need to kind of almost fake my confidence until I need to think of myself as a brand, so that, you know, like when I was kind of met up with you and we started making the blog all kind of professional and better and whatever, because I needed to have that confidence in myself that if I take myself seriously, other people will take it seriously as well. Yeah, so fake it till you make it, basically.
That's one of the things that I love about you as well. I think it's brilliant, because it's not really fake it till you make it, because you're not like bullshitting at any point.
No.
But it's more, yeah, like I'm gonna fake this confidence thing and give myself permission to be a professional blogger until the confidence catches up with me.
Yeah.
And I would say that, so I think we connected even just before it turned out we were both on the Insta retreat.
Yeah.
Which was super weird. Yeah. But, so I've sort of, I don't really know how it happened, but kismet. So I sort of feel like I've seen you go on like a real journey, like really quickly as well. It was a bit like you, I don't know, like you found your voice, basically, and it seemed that you tapped into creativity that you probably you had all this time, but you just hadn't given yourself permission to have.
Oh, thank you.
Your pictures are so gorgeous, and your captions are amazing, and, well, you know, I'm one of your biggest fans, but it's really nice to see, like, somebody go on that journey.
It's been crazy. When did we do it was the beginning of this year, wasn't it? So it's only been sort of 6 months. I think basically I'd felt that frustration for a while, where you're sort of trying to do what other people are doing and kind of what's doing well, and not, you know, stuff that I liked, kind of, you know, the sort of bright white accounts, you know, big floral stuff and flat lays, and it was all stuff that I found really beautiful and I loved. And I was kind of trying to recreate it, because I think, to begin with, the first step of the creative process is to recreate, and you know, it's not necessarily copying, I guess, but it, you have to learn. Like when I did like GCSE and A-level art, and the first thing you always did was you just copied another artist's work so that you could kind of practice. And so that was what I was kind of doing, and I was feeling that frustration of like, well, I still prefer other people's work to mine. Like I'm not quite getting it. And also it just wasn't my life. Like I live in a house that is fairly grubby because I have a child and a house around it, and you know, I live. And it's quite, you know, I don't have very much light downstairs. It's quite a dark house downstairs, which next time I buy a house will not be the case. But it was actually to try and have like bright white floral things. I don't have enough money to buy fresh flowers constantly. Like it wasn't fitting in with my life, and it wasn't really a true representation of my life. And it was when I kind of gave myself permission, to start capturing what my life was actually like, it just sort of unleashed all this freedom of kind of expression and creativity. And it was like you say, it was really quick. Something just kind of unlocked. And I think it started where I have what could be quite a nice kitchen. It's got like dark wood sideboards and a butler's sink, but it's all a bit tatty. Like the sideboards are water stained and the sink has got loads of limescale and all these things where I'm like, oh, that would be really nice if I had cleaned it properly and upkept it and everything. And so I kind of would avoid taking photos of the mess. And then Sarah had said in the course, like, try not to over tidy photos. And so I kind of probably took that to the extreme and just started photographing the mess. So I left, like, I had some pans on the side of the draining board that, like, from they would kind of been there for a few days. I'd made a cup of coffee, and so I just put the coffee on the sideboard, and my sink is kind of stained, and I just was like, I'm just going to take a picture of it. And I took this picture, and it just turned into this like really gritty thing that I was like, oh, should I post it, should I not? And then I was like, yeah, do you know what, my sink is dirty, like
but now it's turned into a bit of a movement.
Yeah, my dirty sink, hashtag my dirty sink. Yeah, so I kind of basically it was a sort of getting over a shame thing of posting real life.
Yeah,
and for me it was much more than about sinks, because it was kind of actually my life isn't picture perfect, and trying to strive to depict that is exhausting.
Yeah.
And I think I was just dumb. I was like, I don't want to make people feel shit about themselves.
Yeah.
Because actually, you know, 97% of the other people on Instagram also probably have dirty sinks.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, that's nothing. It's just being real. And I'm quite confident in myself. Like I don't feel like I have too many kind of insecurities around who I am or comparing myself to other people, which is amazing. And I know I'm very blessed to have that. But I think I'd spent so long working with teenagers who were just being absolutely torn apart by comparison and, you know, social media, and trying to be something they weren't and kind of fit into this perfect kind of image, that when I was, you know, talking to them, I think there was just a turning point where I was like, I really have to believe this for myself as well. I truly have to be happy and put my self-worth not in perfection or Instagram or comparing people. And I just got to a place where I really believed that. And actually I was like, do you know what, if I take a picture of my dirty sink and there's a new mum out there who looks at it and goes, oh, thank goodness, like my kitchen's filthy too, or, you know, I've not even managed to get out of my 6 stained pajamas this morning, like that's what, you know, if I can make somebody feel better by posting a picture of my dirty sink, I'm gonna do it.
Have you found that before you kind of found your style and were comfortable with your style, particularly on Instagram, you were trying to fit into that kind of Instagram cliche of, yeah, probably overexposed white flat lady?
Yeah.
But not that there isn't a place for that.
No.
At all. But that's, yeah, like you say, that doesn't fit in with your life, so it makes it bloody hard to find, you know, 7 pictures a week. But did you find that with your writing as well? So going back to your blog, because I think that you write about really personal, but have you always felt comfortable?
I think I've always felt more comfortable being quite vulnerable in my writing, or if I was speaking or whatever, because I think it's something to do with like having authority on a subject. And so I've always, you know, been very aware that, say, like if I preach at church, I'm very young, relatively young to be doing that. Like, say now I'll preach an adult, like in the adult congregation. So it's like there are people who are like, you know, 50, 60, 70 plus that I am effectively giving teaching and advice to. And so I guess it's that feeling slightly like a fraud, and kind of actually I find that if I stick to a place of vulnerability and I stick to somewhere that is, you know, this is my opinion on the subject, or this is my experience, this is what's happened to me, then I am an authority on that subject, because that is, you can't deny me my experience.
Yeah, that's your truth, isn't it?
Yeah, this is my truth. And actually, I'm not a very, you know, confrontational or debating kind of a person. And so actually, I can just comment from where I am and what I'm doing or how I'm feeling. And again, it's that kind of being vulnerable. I just find it's not so much for me as it is for other people. Like, it gives permission for other people to say, yeah, I feel like that too, or I can relate to that, or actually let me think about this for myself.
Yeah.
And I just love being able to give people I guess the permission or the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I think something that I read once stuck with me a little bit, because I feel the same as you about writing vulnerable posts, and I hadn't really ever articulated why they work better. So you've just hit the nail on the head for me. It's a proper light bulb moment. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it like that either.
Oh no, that was
say it.
But someone once said, I can't remember who it was. It was a blog post that I read where they were saying, I have a rule. I don't share stuff until I've dealt with it myself. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a really smart move. It might have been Jen Carrington actually. Like, oh, that's such a smart move. That's really sensible. Because if you're putting something out there and you haven't dealt with it yet, then any feedback you get is going to be doubly tough. But actually, so I kind of stopped sharing those types of vulnerable posts, or I was tempering myself a little bit.
Yeah.
But now I realise that I find that process really cathartic. I don't have that rule for myself. I'll share vulnerable stuff even if I haven't necessarily dealt with it yet. Like when my struggles with breastfeeding or whatever, like I'll share stuff.
I mean, it might be different if you were talking about I have like hundreds of thousands of followers, you know, almost, I suppose, kind of the...
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
I feel like most of the people I share with, even if I don't know them or they're friends on Instagram, they kind of feel like I'm speaking to friends.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know, I just think there's so much power in letting people join you on the journey. And kind of, it's not necessarily that, because I'm actually quite an introvert, but I'm not. I talk about it in therapy. I have no issue with like sharing things to a wider audience, but don't talk to me one-on-one about it.
Honestly,
I think I suppose because you can kind of be measured and you don't have to, you can just let people see in through a window.
Yeah, that's
true. It's not like come over to my house and get in my business. And it's actually, you can, it's just letting people with snapshots be like, actually my life isn't perfect. And you don't have to be perfect either.
Almost everyone I've spoken to on this podcast is like, oh, I'm an introvert. You wouldn't believe it. And I'm like, I definitely would.
Yeah.
I think we all are.
Found our place to...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We found our place and we found our people.
Yeah.
What would you say has been the most helpful tip or piece of advice that you've been given along your blogging journey? Because you're a relatively new blogger and you've grown a really strong community really quickly. But you must have had some stumbling blocks, some crappy advice, and probably some amazing light bulb moment advice along the way.
I think, well, to be honest, it wasn't so much crappy advice as to begin with, I just had no advice. Like, I just couldn't find... I could see this world, and it was like, I was like peeking through the window and like, how do you do it? Like, everybody's doing it. Why can't I do this? I don't understand. I haven't been let into the club.
Do you feel like that sometimes? That it's there's a lack of transparency.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's because everybody has to work so bloody hard to figure it out that when they do, it's like, okay, well, can you now work hard to figure it out? So I think you kind of... You know, you and I have talked about this a lot because you've given me so much help and advice kind of to really kick me to another level.
You're too kind. I think you did it all yourself. I really...
Honestly. honestly. I can't even say... What is it? Google Analytics.
Oh, yeah.
See, I can't even say it, let alone understand it without you. You know, I just didn't have that much advice, really, to begin with.
Yeah.
I think I just kind of, again, I just started going, okay, well, I'll just see what other people are doing and I'll just fake it. Yeah. And I'll just go along and I'll pretend like I know what I'm doing until I actually know what I'm doing.
That's really hard, though, isn't it? From your own mental health point of view, I think that's really hard because you're almost always feeling like an imposter.
Yeah.
That's why I do not want to ever not share. I basically always want... That was a double negative, a terrible sentence. Apparently I get paid to write. I'm not really sure. not to speak. Yeah, exactly.
I think for me, my kind of... I suppose it wasn't, again, it wasn't really advice, but my sort of light bulb moment was when I realised that... Because, again, when people started asking me for advice, I was a bit taken aback by it. But again, and it's kind of, you do initially have that sort of like, oh goodness, well, I've had to, you know, slog my guts out to try and figure this out. But actually, when my light bulb moment was realizing that I, you know, you can give people the tips and advice and the kind of practical how to, but it won't start working. You know, they need to find their voice and they need to find their style. So for me, I'm happy to give people advice on what I do or how I take a picture. But actually, my mess and the things that I take pictures of, it works for me because it's mine. And actually, for other people, their lives are different and it will work when they find their kind of flow. So even if they recreate a picture, say, that I took initially, for me, that picture is depicting something, a moment in my life, or it's telling a story of something in my life, or freeing me up to kind of share something or get a bit gritty or whatever. And it's not, even if they were to recreate it, that's not, it's still, that's their life.
Yeah, it wouldn't ring true, basically, at all. Yeah.
That's one thing.
And that's also another really good point. When you share your knowledge of how you did well or how you found your place in Instagram, no one else is going to be able to take that away from you because... You're doing it all from a place of such authenticity that it just can't even be replicated. So you've got the hashtag My Dirty Sink, which I love joining in on because my sink is always dirty. But it's so ugly. It's so modern and gross that I have to do it in my own way. And also the hashtag A Barefaced Project.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about that?
So, this is my baby. It started off because I was really yearning for something that I could kind of post, like a weekly series, because those are the kind of things that I love checking in with other people about. Like, you're like, oh, it's this day, let's go see what they're doing.
Yeah.
I had like this whole flash of inspiration because I've been mulling over various different things and I kind of felt, oh, that's a bit fake, that's a bit forced, like, will I be able to sustain that? And I just kind of been thinking about, you know, my whole ethos about, you know, not, you know, like my dirty sink, kind of how can I be transparent? How can I hate the word well, I don't know, I love the word authentic, but
yeah, I know what you mean. It's been a bit overused,
a bit twisted in Instagram.
But
I was like, yeah, how being actually authentic. Basically, at the beginning of this year, I wanted to start challenging myself because I realized that when I first started taking kind of like, say, messy pictures, it made me feel a bit uncomfortable to post them initially. And so I wanted something that was just kind of make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I found that was where I got the best results, was when I was right outside my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Kind of challenging myself to do something I didn't necessarily want to do or feel comfortable with. I was going through some old sketchbooks from my GCSE art days, and I'd done a series of portraits, kind of drawing portraits, of kind of depicting different kind of emotions and that sort of thing. There's a whole blog post on it somewhere in my blog.
I'll link it.
And I was like, oh, that's really interesting, actually, kind of how your face like portrays certain emotions. And I started thinking about Instagram, and I was kind of like, okay, do my photos actually depict the kind of week I've really had?
Mm.
And so basically I started challenging myself to take a self-portrait every week, kind of not like a selfie, but actually like set up the phone or the camera on a tripod,
mm-hmm.
and just let whatever the kind of overriding emotion of that week had been, just let it kind of, I take a big deep breath and just let that emotion kind of flow through on my face,
mm-hmm.
take a picture, whether I had makeup on or, you know, plucked eyebrows or messy hair, just take it. And so just once a week, even if, so people could see the emotions kind of that were going on behind the camera.
Yeah.
And it made me feel really uncomfortable, but I was quite excited by that because I was like, actually, that's always where it's just going to, this
when
is going to
do something.
Mm. Yeah. And I wasn't quite sure where it would go. And I kind of invited people to join in if they wanted to. You've joined in, haven't you?
A couple of weeks.
I think it's quite a scary thing for people to do because actually it's one thing to maybe be vulnerable with your words, but then I think people have a lot of self-confidence issues with actually sharing their face.
Yeah.
And I think I did a bit, like, but actually I kind of was like, well, do you know what? I don't put my self-worth in how I look. And I don't, you know, I know that I'm an amazing person, even if I have really bad skin.
Yeah.
You know, I know that, and so I was like, right, okay, let's do this. And it might free people up to see, actually I might take some really pretty pictures.
Yeah.
But my life isn't all fairy dandy. Or it might be some weeks.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes your picture is like, I've had a really great week and I'm really happy and whatever. I have something to say. It's a slight gripe. Not with you, by the way.
Good, tell me off.
Yeah. When people join in with hashtag projects that are really special and really beautiful and curated, like My Dirty Sink or Just a Little Whimsy, and especially a barefaced project, or any of them, there's loads of them out there, and they just add it to every bloody picture. It really pisses me off.
Oh, my word. Yeah, it's like, seriously, people, tailor your hashtag.
Yes. Oh, my God. If you don't read Sarah Tasker's blog, Mianola, well, you should anyway. If you're using Instagram, then you really should. But
she's the queen.
Yeah, she is the Insta queen. But she will always talk about, she has a great newsletter, which is a hashtag newsletter, and she curates all these amazing hashtags and shares them with her followers. And she used to put a block at the bottom of all the hashtags,
so you
could copy and paste them. And she stopped doing it because people would just bloody pick them up and put them in every single post, which I just think is so lazy and so disrespectful. It really, really annoys me. I don't know why it annoys me so much. I really need to calm down.
Yeah, but... no, I'm exactly the same. I'm like, is this safe? Don't think so. Oh.
So, where can everybody find you?
So I am at Whimsy and Grey pretty much everywhere. So I am...
Easy peasy.
Yeah, on Instagram and Twitter... and not Facebook, but Pinterest. Cool. I'm at Whimsy and Grey everywhere.
Perfect. And your blog is whimsyandgrey.com, and I will link it in the show notes.
Thanks for listening to What She Said. And if you like this episode or any of the other episodes, please think about giving me a lovely rating on iTunes. I really appreciate it. If you want to connect with me, head over to my blog, wanderloose.com, or hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest, where I'm at wanderlooseblog.